Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
From Nashville's WSM Radio, the original home of the Grand Ole Opry, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Well, guys, this week, Mandy Barnett, Britney Spears, Ray Stevens.
Britney Spencer. But Britney Spears would be really, really cool. Can we work on Aaron booking Britney Spears? Hey, you were on the Opry stage with in Britney Spears' arms in a famous photo.
Yes,
were you really?
I was.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Drop
well, she's
everything
trying to pull
and show
away,
me.
It looks like, but you know, if it were me, I'd say in my arms.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I'm speechless.
Irresistible. That's what you are. Yeah, I have proof.
It was Jamie Lynn's debut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And she came to surprise and introduce her sister. Mm-hmm. And they told me, they said, you're going to introduce Britney. And it's one of those things where you're walking out. And we will get to Britney Spencer, I promise, yes, here in just a moment. But since I missed, I just wrote Britney SP to remind me that it's Spears. And so I'm walking across the stage with a handheld mic to introduce her, to introduce her sister. And you realize this moment in time for just a second, like, this is going to require the obligatory hug. You could just see it in her eyes. And so I gave it to her.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, I did. I pulled her up next to me good tight and said, hey. I felt something. I did. I felt something. I'm pretty sure she did.
I don't know.
Pretty Hank Jr. of you there.
Thank you.
And she did too.
That's the kindest thing a man could ever say about another man. Very Hank Jr. of you. All right. So let's talk about Britney Spencer.
Yeah.
You were there for her Opry debut.
I think I have done every Opry show she's done but one.
And so I did that one.
So when I'm not there, I feel bad. So, but boy, she lights up a room, doesn't she?
There's something so calming about her. She just has this beautiful peace about her. Mm-hmm. And the fact that her debut album is out, finally, My Stupid Life. It's a funny title, but when you listen to it, man, I can't say enough great things about her. I've been around her a number of times, and I just love her. She lights up the room.
And 30 years ago, soon be 30 years in April, my anniversary here at WSM Radio, a couple of months after I went on the air in April, in June, my first stage presents as a host was with this little 18-year-old girl named Mandy Barnett from Crossville over on the plateau who had gotten the gig as always Patsy Cline. And she shared this great story with us about how she knew she had the gig when they asked her shoe size.
That says it right there.
Yeah.
And other than Kelly Sutton, the most beautiful, gorgeous hair
ever so
belongs to Mandy Barnett. Yeah. We were talking hair care in the green room before we started.
Good tips?
She did. Well, she also, we relate in that the curling iron just burns our hair off and we just can't curl our hair very much. So
does it do the same for you, Charlie?
Terrible. Look at my hair. This is what happens when one has curling iron abuse.
But she debuted in Always Patsy Cline 30 years ago. It's the 30th anniversary of Terry Myers, who played, was it Seeger, Louise Seeger?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wasn't that
real life. I mean, it's a real life relationship and friendship.
A fan and pen pal relationship that started. And then a guy with whom I spend a few hours each week on PBS, Ray Stevens, Cabaret Nashville.
He had mentioned that this was going to be the last season. So I'm glad that we got to the bottom of that because that made me think, is he not going to tour? Is he not going to sing anymore? Is he kind of retiring? Mm-hmm. So we got some answers.
But we also found out we're going to be doing more television shows after the 4th of July, he said.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked me to wear my tuxedo jacket that he chose my wardrobe for the intro to the show.
Of course.
And I said, you have it. He goes, well, good. Then it's dry cleaned and hanging in wardrobe.
Ready to go.
Be ready for it.
And speaking of compliments, he complimented your pocket silk.
Yes, he taught me the art of the pocket silk.
Yes.
So you got your La Fleur. That's what it is.
Yeah. And speaking of fashion, Aaron Cooper, real quick plug. It's an event coming up soon, but folks can get all dressed up for the big masquerade gala that you're going to be a part of.
Y'all, it's been so cold, and we have been trapped inside. We need a reason to get out and have a nice night.
Yes.
Please. So, yes, February 23rd, the Masquerade Gala of Music City. Make a night of it. It's a Friday night. There's going to be a lineup of all kinds of artists. We got King Calloway and Caleb Lee Hutchinson, a friend of the show, coming on to perform. And your ticket money is going toward the Aloe Family, which is an awesome organization based in Nashville that helps families develop life skills, tutoring, job, on-the-job skills, language classes, all sorts of things. And you can find those linked on our Instagram and Masquerade Gala of Music City. You can just look that up and buy your tickets. I'll be there on the red carpet, so yay! Come hang out.
Oh, somewhere from my many trips to New Orleans, I've got the good masks. The Mardi Gras masks, they work
oh,
good for that.
Oh, yes.
All right, coming up in a bit, Mandy Barnett, Ray Stevens, but we'll start things off with Britney Spencer.
Or Britney Spears. So if you were with us just minutes ago, right there, yep. Mandy Barnett, Grand Ole Opry star, is sitting. Good right. Little break, come back. Poof, there she is.
Woo!
Britney Spencer is in the house.
Hello.
Huh? So excited to have you back.
Look at that smile.
I'm so I know, I can't really hide. I haven't been here since my Grand Ole Opry debut, I think, back in 2021. So thank y'all for having me back. I'm really, really excited.
Well,
this
you
is
know,
it's so early.
We learned
hi.
From
she says hi.
Mandy did not think she would ever become a Grand Ole Opry member because she had played it well over 500 times and had never been invited. And they finally surprised her and on her birthday, right?
Yeah.
Correct. What she said?
Yep.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So what do you remember about your big night in the circle?
Oh, gosh. I remember not stepping into the circle until the moment that it was time for me to perform that night. During the sound check, I just refused to, like, step in it. So I remember that. I remember feeling so nervous. I remember my dress. My dress was actually purchased by my my old college professor, Beverly Keel.
Oh.
She, like, gifted
oh,
me. I, like,
we
bought
love
the,
Beth.
I know her.
So when you say
her.
My old college professor,
yeah.
Beverly Keel.
Yeah.
See, that means your former
college okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Professor.
My Beverly former. Keel.
Because yes. Beverly and I are of a certain age.
Oh, but she's still working it. I love
oh,
that.
Oh, my gosh.
Beverly
yeah.
is still working it. You are too. And Beverly, she's so kind. She runs an organization here in town with Tracy Gershon and Leslie Fram called Change the Conversation. But she's also the head of the Mass Comm Department and the Recording Industry Department at MTSU here in town. And that's where I met her. And she was just so kind. Like I think about her when I think about my debut. She also helped with PR because, like, I don't know if you guys remember, yeah. but like CBS This Morning, they like did a whole piece around like me and my debut, and so they were here and she handled all that for me because I was like, I still work at Warby Parker. Can you help me? I'm poor. She's wonderful, so I can't think about my debut without thinking about her.
And what I think about when I think about your debut is you came by here first,
mm-hmm.
and then later that night you were at the Opry, but your mom and sister,
yeah, they were here.
Standing outside that mm-hmm. studio window.
Yep, they were. They
watching.
Were here. I know. Gosh, that was such a really beautiful day. I just remember being so nervous, but also just, I don't know, having like this sense of readiness. And also the world just looks so much different. Like 2021, everything was like shut down. There was nobody here hardly. Mm-hmm. Like even my mom and sister being able to come with me, I was kind of shocked. And so it's interesting watching like my life now versus 2-3 years ago. I'm like, first of all, everything was just closed down and just looked different. So now I'm like, oh, I get to show up to shows and there's people, you know, because yeah. I think we were at like half capacity at my debut. And so now when I sing at the Opry and it's a full house, I'm like, oh, this is what it looks like. This is cool.
This is what it feels like.
And, you know, I don't need to point it out, but the introduction was, I thought, you know, really pretty.
Oh, it was superb.
Pretty solid.
It was
there.
Top tier. It was given. It was given iconic.
Thank
there
you.
It was.
Thank
yeah.
You.
There.
Thank
he's
you.
Always.
You know, I mean, I know it goes without saying. But yeah. As an only child, I have to say it. That's the thing. You know.
Eddie Stubbs was unbelievable, wasn't he?
Oh, I tell you.
And now we get to talk about an album.
Oh, that's so wild, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's only wow. taken years and like your entire life that you get to pour into this.
No.
Yeah.
Her entire stupid life.
Thank you.
My
thank
stupid
you.
Yes.
My
life.
My stupid
yes.
life.
That's right. That's the name of my album. Yeah. It's gosh, I didn't rush it. Like, you know, I started having like a moment in music about 4 years ago and I really wanted to put out an album that I felt really proud of. I tend to really gravitate to artists' first albums, and so I felt like that internal pressure, you know, to be like, mm-hmm. hey girl, put out a good debut, but also put out something that you actually want to hear. If I get to put out one album in this life, in this career, this is the one I wanted to make. I wanted to make something that that flowed across the spectrum of country music, of Southern music, and I wanted something for everybody, you know? And so I feel like I, you know, hopefully did that, and I don't know, it feels really overwhelming and beautiful to watch everyone's response to it. I don't know what's next, but I'm having a really great time.
So when does country music as an influence and the kind of music that you know you want to sing come into Brittany Spencer's life in Baltimore as a kid growing up?
Yeah.
And then later college at MTSU, which you referenced.
Yeah. Well, my introduction to the South was actually just going to Sumter, South Carolina every summer as a kid. Mm. That's something.
Family?
Yeah. So my mom's husband is from there. And I have like a lot of Southern roots. My grandmother's from North Carolina. My grandfather, his family's from Southern Maryland. And so it's like threaded in. Like I really am like a hybrid of city and country life.
Mm-hmm.
We all just kind of migrated, I guess, to Baltimore. but I feel like my introduction to the South wasn't the music at all. It was the culture. It was the people. It was the food. It was the camaraderie. It was the lifestyle.
And I knew food was coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it has to be. And my grandmother, that's she still cooks like that to this day, you know? And so I feel like I've met so many different kinds of people, you know, down South. And I want to make music that reflects that, you know, that tells a lot of the stories that we hear, but also a lot of the ones that, you know, maybe sometimes we don't always hear. But I think it's important.
Well, you had to come to the South to meet the guy that introduced you at the Grand Ole Opry.
I know, right?
From Rhode Island.
Exactly. Hello, Rhode Island. I love it.
Not a lot of big performance venues in Cumberland, Rhode Island. So I understand.
Yeah. So if Brittany were playing Cumberland, Rhode Island this evening, let's say, what venue? Mickey's Valley View Pub? Where would she be playing?
That sounds great. I want to play there.
Well, you know, I will say they have entertainment there, but it's there is music. But let's just leave it at that.
They're not selling it.
Actually, you know what? There's a place in Providence called Lupo's Heartbreak Hotel, which is their version of the Exit Inn. Rhode Island's everybody plays.
But that's in Providence. So that's where you want to go to places around here where we live, as your dad used to say.
Yeah, there ain't nothing there.
Did you watch the Super Bowl and halftime entertainment with Usher breaking it down?
You know, I've watched glimpses of it. I watched glimpses of it. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. I'm off the road right now for the last 2 days, and I didn't get to watch the Super Bowl because I was asleep.
I was
asleep. I know that sounds so lame.
No, but like sounds delightful.
I feel like songs like "Night In" on my album are like that's really actually me. I watched the Super Bowl like after. I will literally go to one of the streaming services and watch something after. Catch the performances online. And so that's kind of what I did this year. And I wish I didn't, honestly. But I was asleep. You know, we got the bus came back in town literally the morning of Sunday. And I like accidentally fell asleep. But it was a great time. I'm sorry. I'm so boring right now. But that was my actual
life. Kelly's hosting the Opry tonight.
I am.
In rollerblades, something she was inspired to
Are you doing that?
Could you even?
Can you skate to the circle?
I could.
Please.
Getting back to the podium would be the problem.
Oh, no. You can get help.
It's a one-way direction, straight out the edge, down into the front.
You know, I have faith in you. And I have, like, faith that the production team or, like, the stagehands can, like, come and grow. Grab you, but just skate to the circle, and then we'll find a way to get you back. I will come back and bring you back.
I was on a knee scooter because I broke my foot, and I was there with a knee scooter, and I did scoot around the circle, I wanted to have that memory forever.
Did you go to a skate park?
No, I really missed out.
Opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, we'll work on it. We'll work something up.
Rock out in the living room.
And that brought me to a conversation we were having off the air about Grace Potter and touring with her. Getting to play the Ryman Auditorium a few nights ago. I think Charlie had it done here for me. Baton Rouge tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
So you're climbing on the bus and hitting the road.
Yeah.
What's that been like? You said she's something to watch and learn from.
She's unbelievable. Like, I've been trying to put her into words for the last few weeks, and it's, like, hard to. She's just an incredible performer, and it's just so much that I've kind of learned from her, you know, on the road. She's so giving. She's so generous. She leads with her heart, and she gives everything she has on stage. Like, she is very instinctual, and, like, in real time, she'll just change up a set list. Like, so much so, like, halfway through her set, I know at some point she's going to call me out. I don't know if it's to sing You and Tequila or if it's to sing a song of her new album, Hitchhiker, or she actually added one of my songs to her set. The last song on my album, Reaching Out, she added it to her her set. So I never know what she's wanting to do. And so I just have to keep my in-ears on and just stay by the side stage, because you just never know what she wants to do next. And she's just a world-class performer. And I've known her for 2 years. We met in a jacuzzi on a boat.
That's a good story.
Yeah, it was great. It was a Kayamo cruise. And I was going up there to get some either whiskey or tequila for me and my friends. I was being like Robin Hood. I was trying to like get whiskey and tequila for us so I can take it back downstairs, because I had access to that floor. Yeah. They probably will never invite me again after they get this. But I was just trying to get the wine and the whiskey and the tequila for everybody. But I walked in there and she was there in the jacuzzi and we met. And she's just been an absolute dream of a person ever since. I've learned so much from her as a person, as a performer, and just performing with her is so fun. Like, I can't put into words. She brings us both out. My guitarist is here, Omri Skop, and she brings us all out, like the whole band. Every band member that's on the road, she just brings us all out, and we do songs together, like at least one or two every night.
But the greats always do.
Yeah, gosh,
that's something
that.
I've seen. They all haven't the great ones. Those who are at the top tier,
they're having so much fun.
That's the way they do it.
Man, I feel that. I felt that when I was on the road with Reba. Like she's just, I was around her. I was hanging around her so much. I had to be like, "Do you need a break from me?" And she was like, "No." Her and Rex, they were just like, "No, hang out, come do." I was like, "Wow, this is so fun. Thank you." I just you know, once I guess I didn't know what to expect, and I'm just kind of around all these really talented people who make a lot of space for me, and I feel really grateful for that, because I want to do that too for people.
Wow. You know? Last time you were at the Opry too, you told a great hanging with Willie Nelson story.
Oh yeah. He's the best. Yeah. Oh, he is so the best. Yeah. Gosh, I texted his wife the other day, because I didn't know they have this program called On the Road Again, where like they will literally bring like gas cards and like different things that help you out while you're on the road. Like they'll bring it to the venue, and that's happened to us several times on this tour, where they're just helping out new artists, like being like, "Hey, here's socks, here's like things, toiletries, things y'all need for the road." Like I did not know that, and I was just like, "I can't believe you guys have done this." It's been so cool. I've learned a lot about the road. I've learned a lot more about generosity.
That's amazing.
What's a necklace, real quick, before we go?
Is that Frida?
Frida Kahlo, yeah. I like it. It feels like a little dainty bolo. That's why I like dangly jewelry sometimes. You know, I love bolos. I get those from Etsy too.
Yeah.
But do you buy three, two you can't send back?
I do. You know, I feel bad sending things back on Etsy, so like I don't do it. But this necklace right here, I actually got this when I was in London in October. I went to go see the Titans and the Ravens play in London. Uh-huh. And
That's so cool.
I know that was like a before tour treat for myself. I was like, I have to get away from this album, because I've been listening to mixes forever. Yeah. And I had some tickets that somebody gave me, thankfully. And I took me and my friends. We met up in London and bought a Frida Kahlo necklace and went to go see the Ravens beat down them Titans. And that's sports.
And that's Brittany Spencer, that incredibly infectious personality of yours. Thank you for getting up early and coming in.
Thank you.
Omri, great to have you. Great work over there. Again, My Stupid Life, available wherever you get your music. That's a full album. Baton Rouge with Grace Potter tomorrow night. Brittany Spencer.
The way you want to drive, I want to ride. It's summertime, I got time today. I got time.
And Grand Ole Opry's sister, look at her, ladies and gentlemen, all over the world on our Circle streaming platforms and Circle Now app. I love those hipster glasses you've been wearing lately. Yeah. That's Mandy Barnett, everybody. Hey, buddy, make her welcome. All right.
I love it. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Good to see y'all.
We're just talking about, speaking of Opry sisterhood, you played the Opry over 500 times before you became a member. That's not a prerequisite for anybody out there aspiring to become an Opry member.
No.
It's just the way it played out in your case. You said, I remember so vividly in tear-filled eyes, that you didn't think it was ever going to happen. And then it did. That after all that time.
It was well worth the wait.
And how many times now? Do you know for sure?
I have no idea. I didn't even know then. I knew it was over 400, but I didn't know exactly.
Well, we'll have to put Jeannie Seeley's husband, Gene Ward, in charge of your show numbers.
Is he the counter?
He is the counter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he and I have the same birthday.
Do you really?
Me and Gene,
I didn't know that.
Sure do.
So when was your birthday?
September 28th.
Okay.
Which was the day I was invited to become a member of the Opry.
That's
so. So it has a lot of meaning. It's my birthday, it's Gene's birthday, and it's the day I was asked to become a member of the Grand Ole.
Wow.
So,
and who invited you? Tell everybody.
Connie Smith. And Bill was there, and I just thought she was going to come out and sing Happy Birthday, because I have spent a, you know, over a 30-year span, I have spent many birthdays at the Grand Ole Opry, yeah, and doing birthdays, you know, through Always Patsy Cline. So, so I've had, you know, many times where they've commemorated my birthday, and I had no idea that it was going to be an invitation.
How old were you when you did Always Patsy Cline, the first run?
18 years old.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
it's the 30th anniversary.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. April 25th is my 30th anniversary, and I love telling the story that my first stage presents as a host after coming to WSM was at the Ryman Auditorium with Mandy and Terry Myers and Always Patsy Cline.
That's
walked
right
out on that Ryman stage.
And it's the 30th anniversary of the renovation,
yeah,
as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because yeah, it coincided with that. Garrison Keillor, I think, did the first show, yeah, period, in there with Prairie Home Companion, yeah, because that was where he got the idea that birthed Prairie Home Companion,
yeah,
for him as a reporter for the New Yorker magazine. And then we had a little break, and mm-hmm, then Always Patsy Cline in June, I want to say.
Yeah, it was in June, yeah.
How many shows were you doing a week?
Oh, like three or four. I think there's... Altogether, there was, I've tried to count, and I think it's somewhere around 250 performances,
wow,
at the Ryman, just for Always.
Recount, yeah, that whole audition process, if you would, for people who've never heard that story of how you became Patsy Cline.
So I'd moved to Nashville. I was 17 years old. I had a record deal with Jimmy Bowen, ended up losing the record deal, as one does.
Oh, yeah, that's how you know you're bona fide.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, kind of floundering around, trying to figure out what I was going to do, and heard about, there was a guy that called me from Crossville and got my number from a girl I went to high school with, and called me like at 6 a.m, which when you're 18 years old, that's the last thing you want to do is answer the phone at 6 right in the morning. And he said, "Hey, Mandy, there's going to be a show, some sort of thing at Opryland about Patsy Cline, and I think you ought to do it." And I was like, "Well, what is it?" And he's like, "I don't know. It's Patsy Cline, and I know you could do it. And here's the number." And so I wrote it down, and I ended up calling the Grand Ole Opry and asked them what I needed to bring later on in the morning. And they said I needed an 8x10 glossy, a resume, and some sheet music or karaoke music. And I didn't have anything. The only thing I had was a picture of me standing in a graveyard smoking a cigarette.
I never knew this part of the story. That's wonderful.
Okay, was that a professional photo?
No, it was just a friend. No, it was just I was standing in a graveyard smoking a cigarette.
And it looked artsy.
It looked artsy.
You're right.
And it was the most recent picture I had. And I brought it with me. And I scribbled on a pad of paper, formerly on Capitol Records. Now, I'd gone to Hickory Hollow Mall, ran in really quick before I got to the Opry, and asked them if they had any karaoke, Patsy karaoke, and they said that all the Patsy Cline impersonators had wiped them out.
Oh.
But they had one. They had one, and there wasn't one hit on it. It was all just obscure songs. So I ended up picking Someday You Want Me to Want You, which is a song that I'd always loved by her. And so that's what I sang, and I ended up sticking around the rest of the day. And by the end of the day, they asked me what size shoe I wore, which I thought was a good sign.
Oh.
Yeah, but I didn't find out for a couple of weeks. But yeah, life-changing experience.
Did you do Patsy back in the Cumberland Playhouse days? Or
I sang Patsy songs growing up. I loved her. I just loved her. I loved Patsy. I loved Linda Ronstadt, Connie Francis. My mother had great taste in music. She always picked good songs for me, and she introduced me to the great singers.
Was she a singer, your mom?
She could have been. Yeah, she sang in tune. Her whole family could sing. Didn't matter if they had a tooth in their head, they could sing. Those types, you know.
Now, growing up, you had something I didn't even know existed. When I was a kid, I knew I wanted to do radio. So I carried around my little Hitachi cassette recorder and went to baseball games. I just practiced doing play-by-play, and I had my own radio station in my bedroom.
What were the call letters?
WCMJ, Charles Maddox Jr.
I love it.
Hey, I'm an only child. I got to name it after myself.
So am I.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah,
really?
Yep. Did the FCC know?
Well, it was a very low frequency.
Pirate radio.
Yeah. As is Opry Dan Rogers, by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
Only child, Charlie Worsham, Charlie Daniels, Aaron Cooper.
Aaron Cooper.
How about that?
We got a whole collection. Only Child Nation.
Special bunch.
Only Child Nation.
A whole collection.
I'll show you the handshake later.
Our national anthem is Toby Keith. I want to talk about me. That's our national anthem. But nonetheless, you one morning were talking about growing up and singing as a young kid, and you had an 8-track recorder, which I didn't know they even made those things.
I had one of the first karaoke machines, and it had cassettes and 8-tracks.
Nice.
And you could plug in an SM58. It would change the pitch. So you could go down a whole step or up a whole step. Of course, the track would be like, but
all right, let's talk about Don Gibson a little bit before we play. Funny, familiar, forgotten feelings on WSM Radio. You knew Don before he passed and spent time with him, and you were telling me a great guitar story off the air.
Well, yeah, I met him. It was around the last 3 years of his life, and he had heard my version of Funny, Familiar, Forgotten Feelings, which he did not write, but he had recorded. Mm-hmm. And he and his wife, Bobby, they just took me under their wing, and I became really good friends with them. And I'd go over to their house, and he had two Super 400s, Gibson Super 400s, that he had written all those hits on. And they were just sitting there in the living room. And so I would play them. He'd let me play them. We'd sit there and sing. We'd sing duets and like Sweet Memories. And he got to where he was writing some songs. And just really, it was such a wonderful experience to get to know him. I've always felt like he's an unsung hero, even though he's in the Country Music Hall of Fame, was a Grand Ole Opry member. I just find him to be very underrated.
Yeah.
Because he was extremely talented.
As a vocalist and that rhythm guitar.
That's right.
That you hear on those records. That's Don playing that stuff.
That is Don. He was just such a huge talent. And of course, all the great songs. I think he wrote I'd Be a Legend in My Time in the Back of a Car and Oh Lonesome Me and I Can't Stop Loving You in the Same Day. It's just something else.
And new monthly series coming to the Franklin Theater, Variety on Main. Tell us more.
All right. Yeah, monthly series. It's every third Monday. Mm-hmm. And our next show is February the 19th. And we have a killer house band, all great session players, Sam Hunter, Pat Coyle, Larry Aberman, Brian Allen. And our special guests are Brennan Lee, Giada Valenti from Venice, Italy.
Oh, is she? I just worked a show at Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
Trace Adkins brought her out as a special guest because he had worked on Christmas music.
Yeah.
He is her favorite singer.
Okay.
And she heard and got him just through mimicry, if you will, or memorization, to sing in Italian.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So he brought her out on stage, and it was just extraordinary.
She's an extraordinary singer. She's played all over the world. She's played Carnegie Hall. And so she comes to Nashville quite a bit and writes songs. And so she's going to be on the show. And so I'm really looking forward to that because I know she's going to bring something really, really cool. So I said Brennan Lee. She's from Texas, kind of a honky-tonk country singer. She writes and sings, and she's really great. And Mike Ferris, Grammy Award winner, soulful, kind of a blues singer, but he can really do it all. I mean, I've seen him just he can cover any style of music and do it well. Rod McGaha, he's an amazing jazz trumpeter. And then two legendary songwriters, L. Russell Brown, who wrote Tie Yellow Ribbon, Knock Three Times. He also wrote Whispering Wind, which is one of my songs. And Roger Cook, who wrote I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing, Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress. And then he had a ton of country hits.
Yeah,
I Believe in Love. What's the George Strait song that...
Love is on a Roll comes
to
mind.
Yeah, Love is on a Roll. It's on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, tons of hit records. Here Comes That Rainy Day Feeling Again.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a huge career in pop and rock and then moved to Nashville from Manchester, England, mm-hmm. and had a big... Talking in Your Sleep is another one by Crystal Gale.
I just want to dance with you. One Night at a Time.
Yep. Yeah.
What was the John Prine song that he and John co-wrote that John said when he had finished his cancer treatment at MD Anderson in Houston and he was coming up out of the parking garage And the first song, I think it was Love Is on a Roll.
Oh, it could have been.
First song
yeah.
that came on the radio was that song that he and Roger.
They were big buddies.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
They co-wrote I Just Want to Dance with You.
Maybe that was
awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
And his daughter, Katie, is a colleague of ours.
Katie. Yeah. I've known Katie That's forever right. at CMT.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
so cool.
She's amazing. So this is a lot of fun. And then next month we have Becky Isaacs and Carlene Carter.
Oh, wow.
Gretchen Peters.
That's Grammy nominee Becky Isaacs.
That's right, big Grammy nominee. Yeah, March the 18th. So every third Monday you can look for tickets at Variety on Main and VarietyOnMain.com.
You know, it was just the 60th anniversary of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. And the true variety show, unfortunately, on television, you don't see it hardly anymore. And I love that you've kind of taken all these genres yeah. and made a magical night of music out of it. It's just cool.
That's what we're trying to do. I'm presenting the show with my good friend Monica Ramey. She worked with the great B.G. Adair and is a wonderful jazz singer. And so between the two of us, we're able to kind of, if they zig, we zag. And we can cover a lot of ground. Mm-hmm. And most of the music is rootsy. So we're trying to keep it that way. No matter the mm-hmm. genre, mm-hmm. but it's been a lot of fun, and I've been able to use different parts of my creativity.
Well, and that
the show.
Space for people who haven't been in the Franklin Theater, it is so cool. I remember when it was sitting in disrepair, and I did a couple of fundraisers to help them renovate mm-hmm. it, and now my kid is on that stage all the time. That's where she does her theater stuff.
It's a beautiful theater.
It's stunning.
The sound is great. It's a wonderful place to see a show.
That's
so
super fun.
Monday the 19th, is that right?
February 19th, and then the next one is March the 18th. So every third Monday.
That's very cool.
For the next year, we got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Mandy was supposed to come see us last month, and we decided to have the worst snowstorm in 3 decades in Nashville.
Yes, that's right.
But the show went on, though. You were able to do it. Yeah.
It cleared up. It was like, you know, I'd been stuck in the house for 10 days in my pajamas and kind of rolled out looking like a big old bear.
What's your food weakness when you're stuck inside at a time like that? Because we all have one. What's yours?
My food weakness. You know, I don't think that I didn't really eat a whole lot that week.
It was mostly
peanut butter and crackers and stuff like that. It was more snacky. I'm bad to not cook. I'm bad to snack. So my guilty pleasure is staying in my pajamas and not combing my hair.
Variety on Main. Variety on Main. Franklin Theater, Monday the 19th is the next gig. And again, highlighted by folks like Roger Cook, Brennan Lee, Mike Ferris. One of the most wonderful, and I wish I could have been a part of it, but I wasn't, and I want to if you do it again. But tell me about tributing Burt Bacharach recently.
Because
Burt Bacharach truly was the soundtrack. You talk about the variety show. Mm-hmm. That guy, when I was a kid coming up, because of my age, I just turned 65. So when I was 8, 9, 10, mm-hmm. into my teenage years, I mean, the wheelhouse, the soundtrack of American music, just pop music, but American music, you kept seeing this name, these two names, Al David and Burt Bacharach. And Dionne Warwick's songs, particularly.
Right. That's right. And Dusty Springfield and B.J. Thomas.
Yeah.
Cut a lot
Raindrops.
Of them. I mean, Burt wrote the music, Hal wrote the lyrics, and just the greatest songs of all time. And so I came together with Shelby Lynn and Emily West, and we decided to do a special tribute at 3rd and Lindsley. And we worked on it for quite a while. And it was just a really, really special evening, of course, with two world-class singers that bring something incredibly special to the table. But, you know, I spent an afternoon with Burt Bacharach many years ago.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I was working with Seymour Stein, who was the head of Sire Records in New York, and I really met a lot of cool people through Seymour. And one day I was out in Los Angeles, and my phone rang. And it was Burt Bacharach asking me what I was doing. And I was completely stunned.
I can only imagine.
And I'm like, nothing, what are you? And I didn't know what to say. I was just so stunned. I wasn't expecting it. And he said, well, I just got off the phone with Seymour Stein. He said, you're out in L.A. And I was wondering if you would want to come over one day this weekend and visit. And I said, yes, I would love to. And so a friend of mine, we had this crazy weekend. We had We had breakfast with Bob Crewe, who wrote all the great songs for the Four Seasons. You know, Working My Way Back to You, Babe, My Eyes Adore You, I Love You, Baby. That, I mean, like, too many to name. Then Brian Wilson for lunch.
Wow.
For lunch. And then Burt Bacharach the next day. It was a crazy
You
weekend.
Mean Beach Boys, Brian Wilson?
Brian Wilson. Went to his house, had lunch, went to his house, rode around a car with him.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Riding like, in cars with boys.
It's like so surreal.
It was surreal.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my
God. My friend Mandy Paley always had the craziest experiences with Andy Paley.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and Seymour famously signed Madonna, The Pretenders, Talking Heads back in the day.
Yeah.
And he was the go-to guy. It was always
a weird time with Seymour. Yeah. I mean, there's something was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And he was responsible for Every Star Above, right?
Didn't I've Got a Right to Cry. He put me with Owen Bradley.
Okay.
He was in the 90s. Everything was changing. All the music was going really pop. And I was having a very difficult time finding someone here in Nashville to let me make a record with Owen Bradley, because I wanted to do a traditional record. And so I'd met him. We were doing a movie soundtrack, and I was telling him about my woes.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved traditional country music, and he said, well, I have a place for you.
Oh, my. So who'd you work with on Every Star Above?
Who? Sammy Nestico.
There you go.
An amazing...
In his 90s?
He was in his 90s, and he was Count Basie's arranger. He was the band leader at the Lyndon Johnson Kennedy White House. It was amazing all the different things that he did through the years, and all the arrangements, all the people that he worked with. And so he was one of the last of the great arrangers. And of course, he was 95, and he's like, I'm so old. Why didn't you ask me 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
But he rallied, it was his last record, and it is an incredible record, and it's the kind of record that you don't hear anymore because people can't arrange in that way. It takes living that long and that kind of experience to be able to arrange that kind of music.
Yeah, you need this in your collection. That's what we're going to the break with. But Mandy, thanks for coming to see
us. Thank you.
Any chance the Bacharach thing will take on a life of its own at some point?
You never know. We're all kind of doing our own things, but you know, never say never.
Okay. But for now, it's Variety on Main, Franklin Theater. Monday, this coming Monday, the 19th, is the next show. That's Mandy Barnett, Grand Ole Opry star. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Love you. You're on WSM Radio, Circle TV.
Love is tearful, or it's gay.
And there sits the comedy king of Music City. Please make welcome Country Music Hall of Fame. Wait a minute, Hall of Famer, you didn't wear your medallion? I thought you wore it on the outside of your clothes all the time.
I usually do. I slept late this morning because of the Super Bowl, and I forgot to put it on. Sorry about that.
Hall of Famer Ray Stevens, that's what I was getting at. And Ray Stevens Cabaret, and Valentine's to talk about, and Kelly Sutton on stage at the Grand Ole Opry.
We're going to be there. We're going to be hanging out. Bellamy's are going to be there.
Bellamy's and Gene Watson.
We've got them all. It's going to be a fun time. So Valentine's is going to be special at Cabaret. You guys are doing something really cool.
Yeah, we're doing the show, and, you know, I mean, you guys, if you're listening and you've been giving your girlfriend a box of candy every year, do something a little better this year.
Okay.
Bring her to the cabaret and let her have dinner. We have a great cook in the kitchen, and have a dinner, eat some of that Springer Mountain chicken, and
nice plug.
and see a great show. And after the show, though, as I think what you're referring to is in the piano bar, there's a gentleman named John Genethis, and he plays before and after the show for people who come in and want to, you know, wait around in the bar before the show starts. And then after the show, he plays in the piano bar. And he wrote a song that I thought was a hit. And so we went in the studio and recorded it. And we're shooting a video after the Valentine's show in the piano bar with John.
Nice. What's the name of the song?
Somebody Up There Likes Me. And it's just a killer song. And he does a great job. And We did it with strings and horns and the whole nine yards. And after the show, you know, I have a big band for the show with string section and horn section. And they're coming out and join us in the piano bar to help make this video.
So
it's going to be really something special, I think.
For people who've never been, kind of describe what you had in mind architecturally and what became the reality of the Cabaret Showroom, right?
Well, you know, you can every venue has what they call theater style seating. And you're like sardines in here. Just a row of seats, and if you have to go to the bathroom, God forbid, you got to say excuse me 12 times before you get to the aisle. But the cabaret, I used to work a place in Vegas that had, and a lot of places in the old days used to have, just tables with chairs, mm-hmm. and people could eat, drink, and watch the show. And so... That's what I designed for the cabaret.
I like the booths.
Yeah, the booths. We have six booths.
Uh-huh.
And there's murals on the walls of old black and white photos that I've collected over the years. And it's originally started out as dedicated to session musicians, because that's what I moved to Nashville originally to be, was a session player. And 20 days after I got here, I cut a hit, so I couldn't play sessions for a long period of time, but I did play on quite a few. But then I had to go on the road. But the walls, the murals on the wall,
had to.
I can talk forever. The murals on the walls are session musicians. They're songwriters. They're artists, producers, and the people in the studios that kind of made Nashville Music City, USA.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now with Billy Sherrill's picture on it.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, in the beginning, of course, it was the Grand Ole Opry. And that's what drew all the artists to Nashville. And then Owen Bradley and RCA built some studios here. And so the artists that would come in to do the Opry would go in and record in the studios here in Nashville. And that's how it all kind of started, and then it just rolled on and on. You know?
You said you came to be a session musician. Mm-hmm. What was your first hire? Who hired you first? What did you play on?
Shelby Singleton. He gave me a job. He called me, and he had seen me on stage somewhere. And I played and sang on stage. And he said, you want a job at Mercury? He had just taken over the producer for Mercury in Nashville. And I said, well, sure. I said, what does it pay? He said, oh, you make $50 a week. And I said, Shelby, I don't think I can live on $50 a week. He said, well, you can play on all the sessions. I said, I'll be right there.
Maybe I can. That's
and
it.
You said shortly after.
Shortly after I got here. I moved here January 2nd.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And 1962. Mm-hmm. And on January 20th, I cut Ahab the Arab.
Oh,
and it didn't come out till the spring, so I had a couple of 3 months to work in the studios. But when that came out, it was boom, hit immediately.
Well, if you ever do a video remake, right there, Fatima of the Seven Veils sitting right next to you this morning.
Absolutely,
I can work on that. That gives me something to work on. I remember being there, Ray, when you turned over the first shovel of dirt to build Cabaret. We were all there. Aww. Ralph was there. All of us were all gathered around watching it. And then seeing it come to fruition and seeing how many shows that you've done there. I mean, it's just such a dream come true. And it was kind of, we were looking at each other going, is this going to work? Because it's not on Music Row. It's not over here by Opryland. It's out close to where I live, out toward Bellevue. So taking that big leap of faith and then seeing it pay off, how has that been for you?
It's been great. But, you know, right after we opened, COVID hit.
Yeah, I remember.
So that hurt everybody, including, I saw empty seats at the Grand Ole Opry, and that's something you don't see.
Well, we had a closed house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, finally, I think we're getting over that, so that's a good thing. But we opened, first season was 2018. So we've been there 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 6 years. This will be our seventh year at the Cabaret.
For the audience, I wanted you to know that I recently, in the last couple of weeks, stumbled, and of course I am the show opener for Ray, the show, the welcome, if you will, the the voiceover host, and also in the cabaret theater. But I was watching the Tony Orlando episode, and I remember that day meeting him for the first time. But he was so engaging from the hello that I thought I've missed it somewhere. Because it was as if we had had lunch together 2 weeks before, and I'd never met the man other than just like so many watching him from a distance and adoring his personality and admiring his work as Tony Orlando and Don. And you said that's just Tony Orlando.
That's the way he is. He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And I remember we were on the road, a bus tour in 1961, and we're playing Glace Bay, Nova Scotia. And there's a guy on the tour named Ral Donner, who had a hit back then, and he was a good-looking guy, and so he went out on stage, and the girls in Glace Bay took a liking to him and pulled him off stage.
Oh.
And Tony and I had to go out in the audience and rescue him and get him back on the stage. I don't know if he wanted to be rescued or not, but we went out and got him. And Bobby Vinton was the backup band, and he came out and helped us, and we got him back on stage.
Oh, my. So you guys, your friendship goes back to the very beginning, before the beginning, kind of. You
said
61, that was before you came to town.
Yeah. I had one hit back then. It was called Jeremiah Peabody's Polyunsaturated, Quick Dissolving, Fast Acting, Pleasant Tasting, Green and Purple Pills. Still holds the record for the longest title, I think.
Say that three times fast.
And and Tony came out on the show and just rolled it right off. I mean, started doing it. Remembered it vividly.
Oh, man.
That's why you said green and purple pills last week. We were talking about that. And he said, get the green and purple pills. And I was like,
Yeah, it's been so long since I've tried to, or, you know, as a kid, memorize the thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a long time since I've quoted it. But I remember Jeremiah Peabody and the green and purple pills for sure. Well, again, you can go to RayStevensCabaret.com or RayStevensCabaretShowroom.com. And it'll pull up. And there's a link to tickets, Kelly, that you mentioned earlier, right?
Yeah, and you're going to be doing that special taping after the Valentine's Day show.
Yes, we're shooting a video in the piano bar after the show. So, you know, it's kind of a double whammy, really.
Mm-hmm.
And as we wrap up this business of your last season, what are you doing? Semi-retiring, or are you going to continue to...
I don't think I'll ever retire, but I just wanted to stop having a programmed, scheduled year.
Yeah.
And I'll still work there occasionally.
Okay.
But the place will be available for, you know, other artists and other events. And, you know, we do other events even now when I'm doing a full season. But I also want to go on the road a little bit. I always say I... sick of the road, and the reason I built the cabaret so I wouldn't have to travel, but I kind of miss it in a way, you know.
So, and we may be doing some more TV shows.
Oh yes, sir. We're going to tape hopefully 26 more episodes, and starting after the 4th of July, we're going to be in there taping, and I hope you'll be able to be the impresario.
I knew I was something.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever that means.
My pocket silk, my styling, courtesy of Ray Stevens. Thanks for coming to see us.
Good to see you.
Coffee, Country, and Cody, WSM Radio, all our circle streaming platforms, and RayStevens.com. That'll link you to everything. Hit the high note there, Raymond.
Should I wander through this wonderland?
Thanks for listening to the Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And please leave us a 5-star review. This podcast was produced through the facilities of WSM Radio in Nashville, Tennessee. The hosts of Coffee, Country, and Cody are Bill Cody, Charlie Mattos, and Kelly Sutton. Producer, Eric Markham. WSM General Manager and Director of Content and Programming, J. Patrick Tittle. Copyright 2023. Opry Entertainment Group Holdings, LLC.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken, always great care and great taste.